Pear Plum, a parenting podcast.
This week, you suggested that we explore the word bravery.
I had a week a few weeks ago where I was so blown away by a few people that I was being exposed to, actually a lot of them through virtual conferences, that were just, it was really impressing me. Wow, the amount of bravery it must take to do what you're doing. And I was overwhelmed by, yeah, just the impressively strong characters around me doing what they do.
I love right away when you suggested we explore the word brave. I felt excited because what does it mean to be brave, to be courageous? What makes someone be brave enough to put themselves out there in the various ways that humans do? So I got really curious, and I'm excited to explore this word with you.
So I guess the very, when I first said, what about bravery? It was when a woman from our social circles stepped up and said, I'm going to run in the provincial election to represent our riding. And I was like, wow, because for me, this is something, I mean, never say never, but I'm going to almost say never. I think it's pretty safe to say I would never do that. And yet, I'm so impressed by this person and so proud of what they've accomplished, and just thought, what does it take someone to find that kind of strength in themselves? I can do that.
Yeah, to have the fortitude or the work ethic to want to do the work, but beyond that, just to be brave enough to put their name out there, to be part of a public sphere, to be sort of vulnerable to other people's opinions or ideas or suggestions. There's so many ways that we as parents and as humans in this world have to be brave or courageous every day, but some of us really dig in bigger ways, like running for office or choosing to live a life beyond the norm. And man, I'm impressed by those people.
Exactly. And then in terms of the election, it ends up that we're going to share some interviews with people speaking about bravery in their lives. We didn't end up interviewing one of these women running for public office because they're too busy. They're out there doing their thing.
Too busy.
But what was really particularly brave about that was that there's this actual risk of putting yourself out there and not being elected.
Some of the things that have come up for me really strongly in the last couple of weeks as we've been exploring the word brave for the podcast is how some of the bravest people or most courageous people are also really scared.
Hello. Good morning, Rosie. Jen calling. Thanks for being willing to do this with me this morning. This podcast, we're focusing, every time we focus like on a different word, and this time we're working with the word bravery. And we're looking at all different ways of what it means to be brave or courageous. And I thought of you, I love your burlesque performances and your live art, like your legendary Halloween installations that I have to be courageous to go to because they scare the crap out of me. So I thought of you and I wanted to ask you, are you scared before you perform? Do you have to be brave?
So that's really funny. I think you picked one of the most scared people to like talk to about this. I'm a super scared and anxious person lots of the time. And like, I'm scared of heights. I'm scared of dogs. I'm claustrophobic. I'm scared of the dark. Like, you name all the big, I'm not scared of spiders.
Okay. Well, good. Okay.
I'm not scared of spiders and bugs. And going on stage, very rarely do I get scared. I get anxious, but I find that's where I find my bravery.
Uh-huh. So you feel anxious, but you push through it and do it anyways.
That's most of the rest of my life. But with burlesque, I get mostly excited about it.
Okay.
I might get scared that I'm not going to finish it.
Uh-huh.
That something will go wrong, but I'm usually pretty confident in my art, and I'm just really excited to share it with people for the most part. I had one performance that was a long time ago. It was, I guess, probably 8 years ago. Yeah. And I was in the midst of chronic illness. And I did a play about that chronic illness.
Yeah.
And it was a burlesque play.
Yeah.
And it was
together
very short. And it was very dark. And it was opening up the burlesque festival in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a weird fit. And that one, when I was going on stage, I was absolutely terrified. I didn't want to do it. I was literally crying. And I was like, I don't want to do this.
Wow. But you did it.
Yeah, and it was funny because that one, I felt like it was psychologically kind of damaging a little bit.
Oh, dear.
It was really exposing and it was like almost too much. It was like I really put myself out there. And then when it was done, I felt really raw and naked. And I just wanted to go and like have a warm bath and not do burlesque for a long time. Yeah. And it was a mixed reception. It was like some people just absolutely loved it and were crying and some people walked out and hated it. It was probably one of the more powerful pieces I've done. And it was, that one scared me.
Yeah. Wow. So, well, as an outsider, I think that's pretty damn brave to share something so authentic about yourself, to allow yourself to be vulnerable and let people see it. And you made it through. That's brave.
Yeah. And just because even sometimes I have a healthy respect for fear. Yeah. I don't like it when it's not useful, which is a lot of the fears that I have. Mm-hmm. So I do push through a lot of them. But sometimes there's been instances where, you know, you've got that voice inside saying, maybe this is not going to go the way you exactly want it to.
Mm-hmm.
But you feel like you have to do it anyway. And if it doesn't necessarily turn out like even for the best, even when you were brave, I do find that those are some of the most powerful lessons.
Uh-huh.
And that I've, like that play, it was a long, like kind of, almost I would say recovery from that level of like vulnerability.
Yeah.
But I felt like I learned so much from it and I'm still learning from that experience, even though it wasn't perfect and was terrifying. So
you have a healthy respect for the fear or anxiety that you might sometimes feel, but you sound determined to work with it. And that was an instance where you made yourself go through it and it may not have been perfect or felt comfortable, but you learned a lot from it.
Yes, definitely.
Well, I really appreciate that perspective. I think that the best things in life are the things that we're very scared of before we do them. I think that's kind of a trick or a like catch of life, how you have to go right to your edge or maybe even teeter off. And then the best things may be waiting for you at the end of the fall.
I completely agree. That's like, I think the best example in my life of that is skiing because I'm terrified of heights.
Huh.
But I've gotten it, like, I love exploring and I love doing things and I can't let fear get in the way of experiencing life. So skiing is, it's winter in the Kootenays. There is not, like, if you're not getting outside, it's not going to go well.
Right.
So I was like, okay, we're going to go skiing. But I was on the top of Blue Runs at Whitewater, just crying and shaking and not able to get down the hill. And I did that over and over again. And the pitches kept getting steeper. And I still would be like crying and shaking and like crawling down the hill, like just paralyzed with fear. Until I think it was 2 years ago, I was just like, I was down there and I was like, I can stop and I can just like, I'm scared right now, but I can stop what I'm doing and I can look and assess the situation rather than just instantly pushing through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can like kind of just give myself a moment to breathe. That changed everything. Mm-hmm. It was just like the stopping, acknowledging the fear rather than just like running through it, which is what I was kind of doing,
mm-hmm.
was just like acknowledging it, looking at it and just, I don't know. It was after that, I stopped crying and freezing up. I would still get scared, but I wouldn't get that paralyzing fear doing that anyway. So,
well, that's a great, considering this is a parenting podcast at its sort of roots, I love that story because it gives me a feel of how you can work maybe with a child's fear of like acknowledging it. Yes, you're scared. Let's stop and assess the situation. We can take a break anytime. Let's just go slowly through the steps until we stop crying.
Yeah, it took a long time to get to that point. And I don't know that it necessarily needed to. I have a really go kind of perspective. And so it's just that, just stopping and breathing and being like, okay, we're scared. Let's not necessarily run.
Yeah.
It didn't come intuitively to me.
Yeah.
It took a while. So some people, I think that might come a little more naturally too. I have one story that I really want to tell you when you've brought up the bravery thing. And you put up the question, like, how do you teach your daughter to be brave?
Yeah.
And that one was, like, I think the most powerful. That when I kind of, like, whew. Because, how do you put this? When she was, she's always had, like, a really strong sense of her own boundaries.
Okay.
Of what she's willing to and willing not to do. Whereas, like, I'm kind of the person who's like, I'm scared of it. I'm going to go do that anyway. And she's kind of like, you know what? I'm scared of that. I don't really want to do that. It's not something that I feel like will bring value to my life. I'm going to go over here to something I like doing. And it's not that these are more like choices of things. So one thing, she's really scared of heights. And when she was young, we went on this like grade 7 camp, and all the kids were rappelling down the side of a cliff. And I was like, we got to do this. You got to do this. And she's like, no, I don't want to do this. This doesn't look like something I want to do. And I'm like, literally, I'm like, but everyone's doing it. It looks so much fun. And she's like, no, I think I'm going to pass. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to show you. I'm going to go do it. And so I'm going, all the grade 7 kids are there. And when you're rappelling, you're standing straight. And then you're like, you know, giving your energy over to gravity, and right where the gravity takes over and I'm no longer holding myself up, yeah. I just freak right out. Mm-hmm. I start crying. I'm like, no. And I just totally like burst into tears in front of the whole class. Oh. And just like crawled myself back up like I wouldn't go down. And my daughter's just like standing there shaking her head. And it was kind of like, just respecting somebody else's fear. And not necessarily pushing people to cross boundaries that may be healthy for them. So I did eventually get down that. I did do it again, but it was like, I don't know, it gave me a healthy respect for the boundaries that she had set up for herself.
Yeah, which and she I was knew.
And I was being pushy. And I felt like that wasn't necessarily respecting where she was coming from. And I felt like I instantly got karma.
Well, you were definitely doing what I think a lot of parents would do. But you raise a really good point there, that we have to honor, respect, whatever words we're going to use, each other's boundaries. And our children, our friends, our partners are going to know what's good for them or not. And so...
Yeah.
Alas, karma did kind of get you there.
Yeah, and even if the fear is irrational, it's maybe like coming at it as in a pushy way.
Yeah,
is not healthy.
No, again, so understanding as a parent, but I, looking at it from the outside and thinking about it, I guess it's a little bit of an like, I'm going to use the word assault, although that's way too heavy a word. But you know what I mean? Like, if we push the kids too hard, we're ganging up on them in a space where maybe they know what's right for them.
Yeah, or they at least, like, because emotional, even if you're scared, and maybe the fear is irrational or it's anxiety-based, but it's still, you're still going to have that reaction, right? And it's going to, how do you put this? It'll affect your whole experience with it, but it'll also affect... like how you physically interact with that challenge as well.
Yeah.
So just really respecting that you have fear, respecting your boundaries, and that if you're going to move through it, I think gentleness is, especially with children, is important.
Yeah.
So, and with yourself too. Like, you know, I'm pushy with myself, and it's like, it's not really necessary, like that stopping on the ski hill and just being stopped, like looking at the fear, acknowledging it, honoring it even, and then moving beyond it, rather than being like, no, we're just going to barrel through this.
Mm-hmm. We can't have a conversation about bravery without speaking about fear a little bit.
I decided I wanted to really understand the definitions of brave versus courageous. I, in my life, use them interchangeably. But what I learned recently, and we'll explore this in the podcast, is that being brave is often diving into something without a sense of fear. Like maybe a new parent, just like, yes, I'm going to be a parent, and they don't feel that gut-wrenching fear. They're moving forward bravely versus being courageous, which is jumping into that same situation with a healthy sense of fear, which then for a parenting podcast, I would think is like a parent who already has, who already is a parent, has a kid and is going to have another. They know what's coming, so they have to be really courageous. So I've been thinking about that, how it's actually slightly different, even though I might use those words interchangeably, but that fear is a piece of it, and that the best things in life are tinged with fear when we get right to our edges, you know? And so then I got really curious about how we can nurture that in children. Like often I'm thinking of my own life as a parent, I would want to protect my kid from feeling scared, but perhaps that's a wrong impulse. I just said the best things come from being scared. We have to maybe let our children feel fear. Or you mentioned those, the political candidates who are really inspiring us with their bravery and courage. They also had to get ready for the potential of not being successful. So being ready to fail at something. Yes. I'm feeling scared just thinking about all of it. But being courageous requires being a little bit scared.
It does. We'll go ahead maybe now and talk a bit about parenting and this idea of supporting our children to take risks and to move forward with bravery or courage. And I read something in something that you shared with me when we were thinking about this. There's so many things that are important to share with your kids, but one of the things is to make sure that they know that bravery doesn't always feel like you're being brave. Mm-hmm. And that fear, that scared feeling, bravery will feel sometimes like rolling in self-doubt or fear, right? And that image just really resonated for me. And it's like, so that moment when the young person that I'm raising describes to me, and I felt so anxious, Mom, so there's a moment to say, and I'm not sure yet how I would say it. Maybe after I listen to all of our interviews, I'll have a better idea. But that may not be anxiety or fear. That may be bravery that you're feeling because you're on the very edge of taking that next step to doing this thing that is so scary.
So we have to try to teach our kids to be more brave than they are scared. Like to accept that feeling that we might call fear, that rolling anxiety, is part of the process of going to our edge, or that like jumping off into something.
I'm Kathy Cronston. I'm the child needs counselor at Nelson Community Services and work with kids who've had lots of different life experiences and often trauma.
So in this episode of the podcast, we're talking about the word bravery, and I'm really curious about how that idea of bravery or engendering courage in children, how we can support that as parents. And I kept coming up with the idea of, you know, of having to build resilience in kids so that they know they can keep on keeping on. And we were hoping you might want to share your thoughts on that.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking about it, too, in terms of resilience, because really, resilience is being able to get through tough times, right? To be able to bounce back when there's a lot of stress or adversity or things are really difficult. And I don't think we're doing kids any favors if we're shielding them from never experiencing anything difficult or stressful or bad, because we all have to deal with difficult things throughout our lives. So if we're able to help our kids have that kind of lived experience of knowing that they can face difficult things and get through difficult things, then to me that's resilience. And I think, you know, when you think about bravery, sometimes bravery is sort of portrayed as kind of like, no fear, go for it, you can do it. But really, I think what's important for all of our mental health is that we're allowed to, and we're supported and experience all of our feelings. So, you know, we can't really have courage unless we're terrified or scared or we have fear about something and we face it and we push through it. And really, that's what courage is sometimes, being afraid, feeling our fear, and knowing that we can at least try our best and get through it. And I think that the ability to do that often comes from that attachment and supportive and caring relationship we have with our parents. So as parents, we really want to be able to make sure our kids know that we're there for them. We have their backs. We love them no matter what happens. We're going to support them through difficult times. And, you know, for the kids to really trust that we can do that, we have to really build that attachment connection with them so that they know we're kind of the answer to their problems. We've got their back. They can come to us for guidance, direction, and support. We can't fix it, but we can help them get through it. Does that make sense?
So much sense. Thank you. But I really like what you had to say, and it brought up for me the idea that as parents, we need to let our kids see us feel scared, feel fear, and do the thing anyways. So I like what you said about not shielding children from negative experiences, but rather maybe as parents, you know, hopefully we've created that attachment and bond and they trust our way we walk through the world, but that we also let them see when we do feel scared or not sure.
Yes, especially if we can really adopt that attitude that this is hard and I can do this and I will get through this, even if it's going to be difficult. There was a school of thought in the past that sort of like, well, if nothing bad happened, we'd all be fine. And really, I think we've learned that we need to go through difficult things sometimes to know, to trust in our bones that we can get through them and get through to the other side. But a big part of that is knowing that we have a safe, caring adult who can almost shield our heart. Can't shield us from negative experiences, but can shield our hearts in some ways because as parents, we're giving that unconditional love. You know, we care about no matter what happens with this, you know, we don't care if it all turns out perfectly. We just want you to try your best and we're here for you to help you get through it.
So being that supportive, loving base for a child so that they can feel the fear, take the jump, whatever the metaphor is, but know that they'll have somewhere to land, you know, someone who cares about what happens and can encourage them to keep going, to try again, to face what the world brings them.
Exactly. And I think that attachment relationship with the parent can really play that role. And you know, when we, like Gordon Neufeld has that expression about, you know, when our kids kind of give us their hearts and they trust that we have their backs. And if we matter to our kids more than, you know, their friends or the world, you know, if they know that we're going to love them no matter what and we're going to help them through it, it goes a long way for resilience.
Oh, thank you very much for sort of summarizing it for us so nicely. And obviously it's not a quick fix or something we just teach our children once. It's about a relationship and creating that attachment. And nurturing that resilience is a love that we're giving all along through the parenting journey.
Thank goodness we could check in with child specialists or people who have, you know, educational backgrounds and counseling and get their input and perspective. But I loved out of the interviews that we did with our experts or with people who inspire us with their bravery, how often those people didn't feel like they were being brave or courageous. They felt that they were terrified and were just moving forward in some way. So I love that idea, and it gives me a little bit of peace to understand that everything that requires bravery or courage is going to feel scary, that maybe that feeling of anxiety, we don't want to get rid of it in its entirety, that's a motivating factor.
And there's the connection to mindfulness and to recognize in that moment, that moment that may only last for a few seconds or a few minutes where it feels like I'm really scared. I'm really unbelievably scared. That may only, and to say, okay, I'm recognizing this fear and I'm going to get through that. Mm. Whether that means you're taking that next bold step, it may not, because you may just be getting one step closer. Mm. But there probably won't be somebody there except for you to recognize it and, you know, say, hooray, hooray, like you're, but you are getting one step closer. Mm. So if you're still not ready to run up to the very tippy top, you're getting there.
Mm. I like those ideas that I read from different sort of parenting sources about acknowledging a child's brave and even talking to a child like they already have accomplished whatever it is that maybe, you know, you're dealing with. Like, oh, kid's scared to go down a slide. Like, you know, well, it's okay. You'll get there when you're ready. And, oh, wow, you went down the small slide. Great job. Or just, I don't know, seem like silly examples now, but just really encouraging our children to be comfortable with the feels that we're discussing and to support them in aiming for those goals.
Well, what about, so we're talking about bravery and courage that we hope we can nurture in our young people, but what about ourselves? You know, do you still feel scared? Unbelievably scared to do things you have to do?
I definitely do. And I have to say the most scared I have ever been in my whole life was deciding to say yes to our adoption of our son. Even though there'd been something I had been working on, spending money, traveling, you know, doing home visits with social workers for three or four years, still when it came right down to it, you know, we got that life-changing phone call, I was so scared, I almost backed out. And thank goodness I had a partner who could feel that fear, but remind me, like, no, wait a minute. You know, my partner said, I'm holding you to this because this is what you said you wanted. So we are going to feel the fear and do it anyways. And thank heavens I did.
Yeah.
And it really was a lesson in that the very best things in life are scary at first. And it didn't feel, so again, we keep talking about this, it didn't feel brave. It didn't feel courageous. It felt terrifying.
Yeah.
But wow, thank goodness. How about you? When is a time in your life when you have felt the fear and done it anyways?
I'm frightened of letting go of that motherhood piece.
Yeah.
As my child moves through her teen years. But because of that, I've been really aware that I need to take on challenges. Mm-hmm. And I have been in my professional life. And I think the most scared I've been has been, to perhaps foolishly take a job that I was maybe not ready for. Huh. And then to have to, the very next day, face... And it isn't my Cooney kids job. Thank goodness that one has some softer edges to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think... And that, and a lot of it involves getting up in front of people and speaking. And that's scary. My daughter, all through elementary school, had a close friend. And I mean, he has graduated now. He's probably 18. And he was always the wild one. He still is, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, he was the one that we always just thought, oh my goodness, he's going to break his legs. Yeah. Oh my goodness, he's going to. And was he just a brave kid? Was he a curious kid?
Yeah.
Was he just so physically comfortable that all these things that seemed totally horrifying for my kid and for me were just like reading a book to him?
Uh-huh.
You know, is that bravery?
Because that's interesting. You want a child to have a little bit of a sense of danger or like to be aware of potential threats. You want them to be careful.
Be careful when you start. You're like, oh, you know, I do watch parenting styles differ so much when it comes to that stuff. Hey,
it's interesting. Like,
take my hand or just
be careful. Oh,
I think we both do that a little bit, don't we?
Totally. Yeah. I've been trying to reframe the last few months and say like, oh, notice like my son was playing on the ice the other day. So my instinct was to say, oh, be careful, dangerous, you know, but then I'm perhaps putting ideas in his mind of danger or something. So then I tried to reframe and say, oh, notice how thin the ice is there. And sure enough, he slipped through and got his boots wet. So it's interesting. We don't want to cap our children off with our own adult ideas of what's safe or not safe. But we also don't want a child who's so reckless, you know, that we spend all this time and energy raising them. We want them to be careful with their bodies.
And now you're intimately connected to the emergency department at the local hospital, right?
Yeah. So it's so interesting to me how we want children to have a sense of, we want them to be courageous and we want them to be brave, but we also want them to be safe.
One of the things that I was so intrigued by when I was listening to our interviews is the people that to me seem like the bravest people could be absolutely burdened with countless fears, all the small fears that we conquer every day.
Yes.
Is this because of these tools we've been speaking about? Are we engaging those skills as we go through our day every day? We are.
We are. And I think that's a big part of being human, being both brave and courageous. Courageous being scared about doing it anyways. And we have to in life be both. And especially in these times, I feel like we have to be brave just to get up in the morning. We have to be brave as a human species to keep on keeping on. Optimism is an act of bravery.